Lord, we ask that this holy assembly will become an excuse of divinity to bring to pass purposes that have been weaved into this season, in this territory, and even beyond, so that your counsel will not just reign among men, but will shine as the sun and lead us and keep us and preserve us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. It's such a great honor to be here this evening. I want to quickly salute the leadership of the JCCF here in UNIZIC for affording me the privilege to be here to share with you the counsel of God. I'm persuaded in my spirit that somebody will receive an encounter that will change his life. You see, when we say these things, we don't say it to psych people. Ourselves are testimonies of the efficacy of the Word of God. This is what has made us who we are and is making us. And we have been given the honors to extend the same to others. As terrible as we were, if these wars had the potency of transforming us to the degree that it has, then we are persuaded that it can transform others. Tonight I'm here with my friends, the Covenant Brothers, Pastor Victor Ogbe. You know, it's a prayer festival. And when you come for a prayer festival, it's important to come with men that have mantles of prayer. So tonight, when I'm done sharing the word of the Lord, I will step aside for a few minutes so that Pastor Victor will bring us the rain. There are things we do by grace, but there are other things that are bequeathed to individuals as inheritances from God. The grace for prayer is an inheritance that the man has enjoyed of the Lord. And he's here with us this evening, a dear brother and a kingdom partner. And of course, I'm here with God's vice regent in the East. The very choice servant of God, Apostle Chidebere Amano. I can see your bias. I can see your bias. Because it's... Glory to God. We just concluded the World Conference this morning. We had a vigil where the Lord blessed us so mightily with his presence. We're there with one of our uncles, Dr. Hassan Achimudu, and it was a wonderful time ministering alongside with him, and the Lord was so gracious unto us. And tonight is the last lap. We trust the Lord to be doing something mighty in our midst. Can you celebrate my friend and brother, Pastor Tosin, all the way from Unewi? And of course, your former JCCF president. All the ministers in the house, thank you so much. God bless you. This evening, before I begin, I'd like to counsel someone. We are here with Apostle Aaron Osai's messages and his books. Get them. They will change your life. In every dispensation, the emphasis of God are different. Because the counsel of God is weaved into different dispensations for achieving different specific operations and mandates that culminates into the final plan and purpose of God. And in every dispensation where there is a specific mandate, God raises a man and puts the intelligence for establishing that mandate in that man. the dealings of God upon the lives of that man gives him the capacity not just to become the portrait of the mandate that informed that specific dealing, but he is granted the skill and the capacity to communicate the same, because God sent his word to Jacob and it lightened upon Israel. That man becomes the nursery to which that which the Lord wants to achieve, which was a dealing in his life, to become a reality for a dispensation. Apostle Aramel Sai, by reason of divine providence, is that man that the Lord has put the emphasis of the kingdom, which is the burden in the heart of the Father, for this generation. And if you want to maximize the move of God for this season, what wisdom will imply you to do is to connect to the river that flows out of him. I'm not saying this because I'm his son. I'm saying this because by reason of divine access, I have been granted the privilege to peep into the vistas of heaven and to know what God wants to do now. And very few people carry that torch. And that is why every time we go around to minister, even though we are also preachers, we come with his message. Because his messages are not just to educate you, they carry the empowerment of the Spirit to bring you into the experience of what God is doing. Get those books, Kingdom Recalibration 1 and 2, Betting is Excellence, Choice, and God Word. It will change your life forever. We came with some of the messages. We'll leave them with the media team. Get them. The Bible says, buy the truth, sell it not. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands toward heaven and whisper something to the Lord. For 1 minute, it's time to activate your antenna. I want to talk from high places in the spirit. I want to minister from a place of high energy level. I need people who can perceive in the spirit.
You will touch it by spiritual perception. You will not touch it because you are intelligent. These matters are hid. They are locked up in the heights of the heavens. Hey! We don't teach because we study the Bible. We conduct us a spirit life. What I want to do tonight is live streaming. I want to bring you the heart of the Father. And you need to be ascended to hear me. Say the Harabanas. That's why we pray. Oh, may the Tetoro Bobo Sateria. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In the precious name of Jesus. Let me just build gradually. I may miss a lot of things. The way my soul is ascending, I may miss a lot of things. The zenith of our prayers and prayer enterprise is not at the level of achieving our needs. Our needs are not our greatest motivation of prayer. The needs of the Father is the highest motivation for prayer. There are many needs in your life that you don't need to have, to pray to have. You only need to command them to be because of the authority you have in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If your faith is developed, most of the things you pray about, you command them and they come to pass. But there is never going to be a level of faith development that will not warrant for prayer in order for the eternal counsel of God to come to pass. The highest motivation for prayer is not for bread and water. It's not to satisfy your everyday wants. The highest motivation for prayer is to bet that which is in the mind of the Father. That is particular for a generation. Men become relevant in the kingdom when their priorities become consistent with the priority of God. If you looked at the life of Jesus, who is the portrait for every one of us to follow, you will discover that it will be scarce to find out in scriptures anytime Jesus prayed for his need. Every time Jesus lifted his voice to pray, he prayed to fulfill eternal mandates that were bodies in the heart of the Father. So it goes to reveal to us, since Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, it goes to reveal to us that most of the time, the reason we squander prayer so much for our needs is because our faith is not developed and we don't have mastery of spiritual realities. On account of the quality of faith that Jesus had and his mastery of spiritual operations, most of the things he ever needed, he commanded them and they came to pass. There were some that he did absent-mindedly, like walking on water to meet the apostles. Men who went ahead of him many hours, because he went to pray at the third watch of the night. And the Bible said they had gone a long while and he came walking on water without prayer. At that point, his need was the need for transportation. Water was not a barrier. On account of mastery of spiritual possibilities, the man walked on water. And I wondered how he walked and he was able to catch a boat that went many hours. Somebody say faith and spiritual mastery. Jesus had need to heal people around him. He didn't pray. He said, be healed. So the needs of man are supposed to be at the expense, at the mercies rather, of his faith level and understanding of spiritual possibilities. The reason we squander so much prayers for our need is because we have not grown. When we grow up, the buttons in our heart will be the things that the Father wants to bring to pass that only spiritual legislations can make happen. So prayer in its highest level is legislating the purposes of God on the earth realm. God ensured that everything we will ever need is at the mercy of our faith. So the moment our faith is developed, our needs are already met in the economy of the divine. So a man begging for bread for 1 year, a man begging for job for 1 year, a man begging for a life partner for 1 year is a revelation of a man that his faith is not developed or his understanding of spiritual manipulation is low. The day he comes into the fullness of that understanding, those things that were challenges, those things that were mysteries, he will demystify them just by his words. Such was the light that Jesus revealed to us. In fact, Jesus never asked us to pray for the sick. As difficult as it looked, he just says to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Because the things that constitute the challenge and the frustration of humankind were paid for and the authority was handed to man. So we deal with the affairs of life by spiritual authority. And spiritual authority is the function of spiritual understanding. So when we gather to pray, we have come to a ground of legislation. The motivation of prayer is not bread and water. The motivation of prayer is the enactment of the will of the Father. Every gathering that constitutes the body of believers is called the church. Whether there are two of you or three of you. And the Bible made us clearly to understand that the highest, the zenith, the meaning of the church was the enactment and the legislation of the will of God. The only two times that Jesus' teaching bothered on the church, it was about legislation. Matthew 16, verse 16 to 18. Thou art Petrus, upon this Petra I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell. The moment he mentioned church, the next thing he mentioned is the gate of hell. So the gathering of believers together, it has its zenith reason for legislation. So it's a pity for us to come together for 6 hours and we are praying for our needs. Now, there is nothing wrong in praying for your needs, because where you are, God accepts you that way. But there's a place for coming up hither where you understand the full essence of life, and your life becomes an effulgence of the fulfillment of the will of God. The gates of hell. So the church was a strategy, a divine strategy, for shutting down the opposition of darkness against the fulfillment of God's will. And the second time the church gathered, he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20. So whenever we gather like this, the first suggestion in the mind of the spiritually mature is that we have understood what is the will of the Father, this dispensation, and we have come to push it to happen. This is why most of the times Bible study becomes very important. The apostle said in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Because if light is not granted from the word, the prayer enterprise will become an erroneous act, because accuracy will not be a parameter for measuring our operation. So the extent to which the prayer enterprise is accurate is the degree to which the revelation of the word is handled. What is the burden of the Father for this generation? If that's the reason you are here today, then you came for the right reason. God will deal with your needs, because amongst legislators, there is a quota for taking care of needs. But Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added. So you don't waste spiritual substance. Seek first the kingdom. What's the burden in the heart of God for now? That's why we are gathered. And this is why I will calm down a bit to bring some perspective, so that your prayer can have transgenerational implication. Men who don't understand how to deal with the trade of prayer, they waste utterances. The reason I'm holding this microphone today is because a woman prayed. All the bread she asked for when she was alive, she defecated all of them. But the eternal matters that she asked for, every time my voice echoes through the borders of different territory, it's echoing because her altar betted something, pain, a spiritual infection. The texture of my calling, the degree, the depth, the boundaries of my call, are a function of the prayer enterprise of my mother. Those are higher matters. And I want to show you this evening things that are more important. This is not in a bid to trivialize your needs. God is mindful of it. And if you need to pray to have it, God will support it fully. But there is a place where men come to, and the burden in their heart is the burden of the Father. This is why many come to that depth so much that they forget the need. One of the signs that you are growing is that you will not remember when last you prayed for your need. Not because your need is not there, but you don't remember. Did you read about John the Baptist? The Bible said he lived on wild honey and locusts. He was dressed in camel skin. We never recorded once when the guy prayed for food. He was grown so much in the direction of his ordination that when he came back, he only spoke kingdom. He said, who are you? He said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. When did he learn the syllables about himself? The prophecy of Isaiah that John was quoting was spoken 700 years before his emergence. Who told him? After the prophet Malachi, Israel was in darkness for 400 years. There was no voice of the prophet. And here comes a man out of the backsides of the desert. And they say, who are you? He said, I am the voice. Who told you Isaiah was talking about you? He understood the burden and the mandate of God for the now. Do you know the risk of saying, I am the voice? It's not, anybody can just come and claim to be anything. But the day the voice appeared, the Messiah must show up. Because the reason for the voice is an indicator that the Messiah that was prophesied for ageless aeon, the season of his appearance have come. So if you are a voice and the Messiah doesn't show up, then you are a fraud. How did he understand so much spiritual timing? The Bible said, according to ordination, the sons of Isaac, they were men that understood the times and the season. After the days of Isaac's children, we never read from scripture that a man understood so much. Spiritual permutation start in a vast array of promises. He will know the exact time in time when the will of God pertaining a particular operation will be born. The things that the prophet spoke about, they were crafted from the realms of eternity. The boundless region where time has no power, that is where those utterances were caught. How did you understand so much spiritual permutation that you know that the things that God uttered in the spirit will come to pass in your day and time? It's the reason we pray. To find the mind of the Father, to understand the strategies of heaven, to know the weight and the implication for the fulfillment of those things, so that in our day and time, we can host those dimensions and our lives will become the embodiment of the manifestations of those things. John said, I am the voice. If I ask you, Paraventure, who are you? Do you know how many prophecies have been wired into our generation? Who are you? It means there is an error in your prayer enterprise. Because the moment your prayer enterprise sustains accuracy, the whispers of ordination will begin to call you. The moment your prayer enterprise sustains accuracy, that which was written about you in the heights of the heavens, you will begin to decode it. So you wake up in the morning, you just know that I am a politician. The corruption in Anambra, I will end it. Maybe you didn't even study political science, but in the course of praying, you have walked into the chambers of eternity and you saw what was written concerning you. So when you came out as a manifestation of the purposes of God. Prayer is the tool by which wisdoms in heaven can be downloaded. Only few find it. And that is why you come to a generation and you find three generals gathering 9 million people. The idea is not to have one superstar. The idea is to raise an army. But how many men will pay the price of alignment? How many men can pray the mind of God when there is no food on their table? How many men can pray the mind of God when their children have no school fees? Only few. And that is why it's as if darkness is threatening to uproot the counsel of God that was meant for our generation. We cry, revival. We cry, revival. But very few pray for revival, even if it will be at their own expense. Full of flesh. We can't even give up our pride, our ambition. And we think revival will rest on our shoulders. Only dead men carry revival. Hey. Sometimes I go to the prayer chamber and I look to the heavens. I say, Lord, show mercy. Show mercy. Show mercy. Because every time a revival is to be born, God doesn't raise prophets. He doesn't raise priests. He doesn't raise apostles. He raises an army. The priest must become an army officer. The prophet must become an army officer. Only men that can stand in front of the heated battle and is willing to die can carry the burdens of revival. Revival is not a cry on the lips of babes. Only dead men understand that voice. That was why John could live the pleasure, the authority, and the influences of his father, who was a high priest after the altar of Abia, and go to live in the wilderness of his life. He was the only son. They waited for many years to have him. But certainly, affiliations to sentimental, emotional connections didn't matter anymore. Do you know how many times Elizabeth cried? You are my only son. I gave birth to you at old age. You are the hope of this family. How would you do this to us? The guy became deaf to sentiment. he was in the wilderness.
We don't know what it takes to bet the counsel of God. Just in case you don't know, let me tell you today, God depends so much on your prayer. Because every time God walks apart from your prayer, he is compelled to exercise sovereignty. And when we saw the life of Jesus, not too many times God walks by sovereignty. Because everything God can do by sovereignty, he wired it into spiritual laws. So that as we grow in his quest to bring us into partnership with the divine, he allows us the privilege to journey into wombs of wisdom. And prayer is the channel by which we enter those wombs. So that in exercising and legislating his counsel by manipulating spiritual laws, we know what it means to be one among the divine. So that amongst us, there will be gods walking on earth. Men that can stand on earth and appear like the stars of heaven. John by prayer entered into heaven. He shone so much, he was like one of the angels. When he wanted to bow to worship the angel, he said, "Don't do this, I'm one of your brethren." The guy had lived on earth like a colossus. So much that when he went to heaven, there was no difference between him and the angelic. A God among men. Because he knew what prayer was. These were men that were banished from civilization. Cast into the Isle of Patmos to die. Never did the Bible write that the guy prayed for food and bread. I was in the hall in the eyes of Patmos. I was in the spirit. I was in the spirit. It was more important for him to be in the spirit. Whoa, my katata. Just in case there's a signal from heaven, I am in the spirit. I am the mast that downloads spiritual possibilities. Yes, many days without hunger, without food and hunger, but I will be in the spirit. And the moment an alarm came from heaven, you see, I heard a voice like a trumpet. Anything God wants to do, there are men that can trap it. Perhaps there's corruption in the east. An angel of righteousness is walking past. He's walking past the borders. Then the guy catches him in the spirit. He says, "You don't pass here. There is corruption in this land. And if the will of God must come to pass, then everything you carry must drop." I was in the spirit. Such was the life that men like Abraham had. The Bible said he sat at the gate of Mamre and he saw three men. He says, "Sars, Sars, Sars." How do you recognize spiritual things if you don't dwell in the spirit? How do you know everybody following patterns that were established by men of other generation? Did you not study how men like Paul lived their lives? Paul began, it was about missionary journeys. But a day came when he knew that God was moving from apostolic operation to pastoral operation. He began to raise churches. It was no longer about missionary empowerment. He came, he raised churches. The church in the house of Cleopas, the church in this house, the church, because he knew that this time the pillars, the lampstand had been established. God needed wise technocrats who could build men. So he knew that even though the apostolic office is important, now the pastoral must come. It was not Jesus that bettered the pastoral dimension. It was Paul. How did he understand? Because everyone saw Jesus moving from one city to another. So all the apostles felt it was about traveling, moving about. Paul came. It's no longer journeying. There are disciples that need to be raised. Let's raise pastors. But now we have a generation where everybody is doing something the way it was done 70 years ago. We don't hear the whispers of heaven anymore. Because men pray for their appetites. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What is God doing? We need men that live in the spirit to find it and to give us the strategy for their fulfillment. The Bible spoke of Anna, the prophetess. 86 years old after the death of her husband, she said she lived praying and fasting day and night. What then are you praying for if you are not praying for food? They knew the Messiah was to come. So their lives were sentenced to perpetual bondage of prayer and fasting day and night for many years. A widow. I thought prayer was about bread. I thought prayer was about what to eat. If you are fasting day and night, why then will you pray day and night? Because he knew the Messiah must come now. And no wonder when Jesus came, Jesus met them in the temple. And when they saw him, they knew him. He said there was a just man, Simeon. He said he was alive just to see. What a purpose to live for. A man is alive just because God told him, I will give you the privilege to see what I'm doing. And when Jesus was born and brought to the temple, the Bible said he went by the Spirit into the temple. So they came to a point where every step they took were ordered by the Lord. He went by the Spirit. And when he saw the child, he carried him and began to prophesy. When he finished, he said, now I can depart in peace. Those are the men that will be ranking in eternity. They don't live for self. They live for God. What are you living for? For John the Baptist, his life had to be spent in the wilderness. God depends on your prayer for many things to happen. The reason many things are not happening is not because God is not powerful or not willing. It's because the prayers of the saints have no stature. What took these three people their whole life to see? There were other men in the east. They didn't need anything. By sorcery and astrology, the moment the star of Jesus appeared, they knew. Let me tell you, because darkness violates spiritual laws, they enter into things without process. And that's why you must always be on guard, else darkness will go ahead of you. Hope you know the preparation of these three people to see Jesus took more than 15 minutes. But the day the star appeared, the wise men in the east, they saw it. And they said, this one is the king that should be born. And they followed the star. They followed the star. This was the same Jesus that some people spend their whole life just to be able to recognize. But the sorcerer saw him the first day they knew. That tells you the quality of their priesthood. It tells you the dexterity of their priesthood. The reason darkness will want to eat up this land, even though we call ourselves apostles and prophets, is because of the stature of our priesthood. Most of the things you cannot contend with, the people wielding it are not even up to your age in spiritual experience. You are born again for 15 years. The lady who is manipulating immorality in this territory may be 5 years in demonic cover. But she has more stature than you. I don't know if I can say what I want to teach. Can you receive spiritual knowledge? I don't think you have the hunger for what I want to teach. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. I want to say things that will show you your quota, where you must stand in order to be relevant. Elijah said, before God, whom I stand. That was his portion in the land of the living. Where are you standing? Because where you stand will determine your spiritual authority. Elijah said, before God, whom I stand. That's a man who is on his guard. Abraham was given the sole prerogative to keep the garden, but he left where he was standing. And when God came, he said, Abraham, where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou? Can you keep your guard of prayer? Or when your bread is given to you, you run away. When your appetite is satisfied, you run away. God came. He said, Abraham, where art thou? Where art thou? To this generation, do you have a portion in it? Which of them are you manning the gate to preserve? That's what will make you relevant, brother. Biblical exegesis will not give you a portion in heaven. You defend it. What do you stand to preserve? What nation of God do you expect on earth? Hey. In the name of Jesus. Just sit down. I think we need to step down a bit so that I'll be able to tell you what I want to tell you. I'm overtaken by body. If I continue like this, I may not be able to open your eyes to certain things. But know something. As intelligent, strategic, and important as biblical exegesis is, it will not give you any portion in God. What gives you a portion in heaven and in eternity is that thing that God wants to do in a generation that you preserved. The portion of it that you preserve, that's what will make you. This is called the wisdom of the patriarchs. For Abraham, he was willing to leave his father's house, leave his kingdom, in country and his kindred. He was looking for a land that has foundation, a city that had foundation, that the builder was God. And when that city was born, it became a city. Jesus himself would say, men will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west in that kingdom to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They own that kingdom. That's why the sons of Jacob, their names are on all the foundation, the gates of that city. You will not see the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob there. That city belongs to Abraham. What God wants to do, which of it are you defending? Because of the scarcity of prayer, God had to invent an intelligence in heaven to preserve prayer, because not many are willing to pray. The Bible said that prayer of the saints, Revelation 5:8, they are stored up in golden fires as others in heaven. Because God knows that this one praying now, if he stop, I may not find another. So he had to preserve it so that the next generation, he wants to do something. In case no man prays, I have stored some portion of the prayer of the righteous. So he stores the prayers of the saints as others in fires in heaven. God knew me, I will not pray for my ordination. So when my mother was praying, he stored it up. So when God invited me, there was legality. That prayer sentenced me to my ordination. That was what happened to Jacob. Because of what Abraham did, God had the right to break his Bible. He forced him into his ordination. The guy could not argue. He battled from night to daybreak, but he couldn't. God had the right because Abraham had sentenced him to walk in a particular way. His choices doesn't matter anymore. He broke his title. When prayers go up, God has the right to do anything to bring him out to the center of his will. There are higher purposes for prayer. Everything God wants to do in this generation depends on our prayer. Everything. But very few are praying. Very few are praying the mind of God. It's a burden that every generation must carry. It's the first tutelage that must be given to a generation. That realizing the potentials of God in a generation is dependent on the prayers of the saints. And a man who does not sustain that body has no place in that generation. Did you not read about John the Baptist? The whole generation that John lived in, Jesus said, in the days of John. That whole generation belongs to John the Baptist. So if you were born in that generation, if they want to find from the archive of heaven to look for you, they will go and open the name John. You are inside John. He inherited that generation because he bettered it. He bettered it. That's why Paul could call a whole church in the city, my children, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayer until Christ be formed in you. So that whole church is the child of John, of Paul. That's how men become relevant in the kingdom. We talk revival, talk revival. Can we pray revival? 99% of our prayer is for our appetite. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, help us, help us. One of the greatest crises and mishap of the believer is his lack of awareness. You don't know that the earth is under attack. You don't know that the earth has never been under attack than it is now. The wars you see, they are just byproducts of what's happening in the spirit realm. The crisis, the calamities, byproducts of the things happening in the spirit realm. If God opens your eyes to see the contention over the earth realm, you will lose your peace. The crisis of the believer is lack of awareness. Every form of wisdom that is available in the demonic realm is being deployed in this generation to choke what God wants to do. Every intelligence. And I will show you some of them. Do you know why most of you come on campus as virgins? And before you are in 200 level, you are disflowered. It is the intelligence of spiritual energy. Warfare have migrated to spiritual dexterity and wisdom. The devil doesn't need to appear on your campus. If he's able to alter the balances of this campus, that energy alone can keep you in captivity so long as you are in this territory. Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law. He didn't say a demon made her sick. He said fever held her sick. It's an energy. When the devil wants to take over a generation, one of the things they do is that they alter the balance of energy. The balance of energy of the earth is under contention. The greatest way to alter the balances of the earth is by invading the earth with other forms of energy. If you study in Genesis chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 5, the Bible said the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men were fair, and they came and went into them and raised children. And he said that's when the giants were born. Because energy came from another realm, something happened immediately. The angels that came down indulged in perversion. And because of the energy level where they came from, they destroyed the balance of energy of the earth. In verse 5, the Bible said, the earth was full of violence. And the imagination in the heart of a man was continually evil. So it was impossible for man to think good. Why? Because beings of higher energy level invaded this territory and mingled with it. So the form of perversion they brought was superior to the regulatory force of the energy here. It's just like putting ice block in hot water. After a while, the whole water will become cold. Energy. So what the devil is doing now is to open portals and realms into different dark dimensions and cause invasion into the earth. These are things happening that defy even our theology, unless God shows you. Somebody is saying, how can that happen? How did the witch of Endor bring Samuel back from Hades to the earth? The devil is violating spiritual laws and protocols. Because right now, so long as the gospel is being preached, the balance of good will be maintained. The only activity the devil can do now to cause a ripple effect is to invoke beings from other realms with superior energy level. If they can mingle with it, even the potency of your gospel will be challenged. That's why you see some people in some territories. You go there, cry for money tonight, nothing happens. Energy. Energy. Perversion. We are having visitations constantly from different realms of darkness. But most of us don't know because we're not in the place of prayer. I started seeing these things as visions. I was praying in Makodi. And at a point, I began to contend with the spirit of immorality. Because I was vexed. I saw the wantonness. And I bound myself in a room for 21 days praying and fasting. And the first thing that happened, I saw a vision. And I saw beings like crocodiles. Had battens in their hands. And they were fighting on every front. I saw some men fighting with them. What is this? And as I stood on that valley, a weapon entered my hand. And the wind threw me into the battlefield. And I was fighting with them. I didn't know where I got the weapon from. I didn't know what carried me into the battlefield. And I fought. After a while, one of the elders came. And he told me to carry people to safety. And I was excused to take people to safety. And the trance left me. And I kept contemplating, what is this? On the 18th day of my fast, while I laid in the room with my eyes open, the wall opened and a being came out of the wall. A naked woman. I laid on the floor. I tried to stand up. I couldn't. When I looked at her head was the head of a man. So I knew it was a principality. That principality that caught the to immorality. I began to challenge Israel. So the being came out. And he walked around me and just sat on my shoulder. I tried to push this being. No way. I tried to bite her. She didn't even know. That was when I cried, "Lord, save me." And light came from up and she dematerialized. Even though she left, for 2 weeks I was struggling with lust. Because her contact with me deposited an energy that was beyond the workings of righteousness in me. I knew righteousness, but the righteousness I knew experientially was at a level. A higher energy level of darkness came upon me. And with my righteousness, I was beginning to struggle with lust. That's why you can have faith and unbelief at the same time in your soul. If faith is higher than unbelief, you see result. If unbelief is higher than faith, you see, you will not see result. It's energy balance. It's a manipulation of darkness. So if the devil wants to take over a territory, those days they send immoral spirits. Now they open vaults and portals because they being know that his time is remaining small. So he's fighting with all he has. They open portals in order to distort the energy balance. That's why sometimes you will come for prayer and you will sleep till you go back home. Because the level of darkness operation at that day, your hunger and your fire cannot ascend beyond it. So that darkness will choke you. You may come for the prayer excited, but energy balance. Maybe a being walked through that territory that night, you were not aware. So you rose up to pray. You thought it was prayer as usual. Your hunger is still there, but the energy that came is superior. That's why we stay in the place of prayer. To generate energy. To generate energy and to litter it in our territory. I can come for this meeting now. I see the power of God as if it's my name. But if I tell the Holy Ghost to minister to people at the beginning of the service, I will struggle. But when I preach for 40 minutes, I have saturated this place with energy. All I need to do is Holy Ghost touch. And then people, the same people that came weak, that energy I released strengthened them. They become sensitive in the spirit. So if you can cough, the person will receive an impartation. Why? Energy balance is an intelligence of the spirit realm. And the devil is exploiting it. Portals opening, invasions on the earth realm. You don't know what is happening. Terrible operations. Even aliens are being released into this world now. Aliens as part of spiritual warfare. Do you know that spirits enter animals? And if they enter an animal, if a demon enters a snake, the demons will now assume the subtlety of that snake. Because through superimposition, he can sustain the quality of that animal. If a demon enters a bird, the demon flies. The same way if a demon enters an alien, he can take advantage of the energy of that alien. The white man called it UFO. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They say they are unrecognized flying objects. That is called intergalactic operations. Demons taking advantages of other galaxies and bringing entities into the spiritual, the world, the physical realm. You don't know that prayer is most important now than ever. I have seen them with my eyes. The very constellations have been manipulated. The moons and the stars. Manipulated. The wise men saw the star of Jesus. They knew he was a king. And they traced him to where he was. They chose to honor him. What if they came to kill him? So they will see the star of a slave. They don't care. They know that, Kai, this one is a prophet. This one is a prophet. And by your star, they know that you will alter the balances against darkness. So they come and give you a job. Meanwhile, God is telling you that he wants to use you as a prophet. You don't understand the implication of energy. Demonic intelligence. You don't know what wisdom can do and undo. Did you not read in the Bible, in Judges chapter 5 verse 20, that the stars fought against Sisera from their courses? So stars too can participate in warfare on earth. Wisdom. In Joshua chapter 10 verse 12, the Bible said Joshua spake in the face of all Israel. He said, let the storm stand upon the mountains of Ajalon and the moon upon Gibeon. And he said, the sun stood still and did not make haste to go down until the period of the whole day. How did he do it? Wisdom. God came to Job in Job chapter 38 from verse 31. He said, can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Or can you lose the cords of Orion? Do you have the wisdom that is required to manipulate the constellations? See what the Bible said. Can thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? That's a constellation. Can you lose the bands of Orion? See the next verse. You know what losing the band of Orion means? It is opening the portal of that realm. Do you have the wisdom to open the portals of Orion? That was God asking Job. And why did God ask Job? He came to him. He said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? So everything God was speaking is built on understanding. Wisdom. Can thou bring forth Mazaroth? So a man can call forth a constellation. Yes. That was what Joshua did. And all of these constellations have influence. He said, play this as a sweet influence. And the next part, he said, can thou guide Arcturus and his sons? Who are the sons of Arcturus? The beings that live in that realm. There is a wisdom for manipulating the constellation. They are all tools of warfare. All against the earth realm that the devil is exploiting. And we come to pray, we think it's about wine. We think it's about bread. You will have all the money, but if you are not careful, the next generation will bow to the devil. So will you use your money
to sponsor your child to Harvard, and she will come back a prostitute. So your money was used to destroy your child. You don't know why we need to pray. Prayer now has even gone beyond just trying to see the move of God happen. Even the human race is under attack. They speak of genetic engineering, robotic engineering, and you think it's about upgrading man. Do genetic engineering. They tell you they want to modify food, and they attach things to those food grains that you eat, and those food grains make your health and immune system weak. And in the next 10 years, they come to you and tell you that certain diseases have no cure, and the only way it can be cured is to modify your DNA. And then you say improving your health. If your DNA is modified, the consciousness of God can be removed from your life. The reason you know God and fear God and obey God is because in your DNA is a coding to recognize God. If that consciousness is manipulated away, they can tell you what to think and believe. So your DNA can be modified to think love is sex. So you can come to church, they say love your neighbor, and you think they are telling you have sex with your neighbor. It's a manipulation. So a point will come where the consciousness of God can be removed from a generation. So no matter what you pray, it's nonsense. You are preaching the Bible, you are calling love, the guy is hearing sex. That's how his DNA is wired now to think. That's his processing. We pray to frustrate darkness. We pray to frustrate the agenda of darkness beyond ourselves. So they put everything together. It doesn't work. They don't know why. Because of the prayer of the saints. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians, unto him that let it is taken out of the way. That's the church. So the reason we pray is for the purpose of God to find expression. The reason we pray is that the plan and the intelligence of darkness to be frustrated. But how many can pray like that? We pray for self and appetites. Have you not studied your Bible? The men that became great with God were the men that prayed the mind of the Father. The reason you are here today is because Abraham paid the price to secure salvation. The reason you have the Bible today to read is because somebody died. Somebody's family was burnt. Somebody was slaughtered. And the Bible says, for such, the world is not worthy that their names will be mentioned. When you go to heaven, some men that were never called apostles and prophets, you'll be shocked they'll be the most ranking men. The men that God locked in caves for many years. All they do is to send energy into the atrium. Send energy into the atrium. So you come to church, you pray, people fall under the anointing. You say, I'm anointed. You are not wise. You don't know the manipulation that makes it possible for the anointing to move in your territory. Maybe the man that is making things happen has never been seen. There are men that God have told not to see the sunlight. Send thanks to prayer. And so long as they are there, the move of God can prosper in the land. I read a story about a man called Maharishi who dwelt in the caves of Kailash in India. The guy was overtaken by intercession until he went to dwell in a cave. And when he lived there, the Lord came and manipulated his DNA so he couldn't die. Genetic engineering also has a spiritual dimension. When Sadhu Sundar Singh saw him, he was 400 years old. The story was told by Sadhu Sundar Salvaraj. Sadhu Sundar Singh went to that cave to seek the Lord, and suddenly he saw a man who stood naked, but every hair, every strand of hair on his body was as long as his height. He was like a beast. He had lived for 400 years. The man said, when we have meetings like this, sometimes God allows the spirit of just men made perfect to come be part of that meeting. The reason you come for meetings sometimes and the energy level is high enough for certain things to happen is because you have visitors from heaven. The intelligence of energy. There are some angels that God allowed to come to the meeting Because your faith can't handle what God wants to do. The intelligence of energy. The reason we sentence ourselves to the service of God is because we have seen that there's a higher purpose. If you don't pray, the next generation might become a generation of robots and soulless people. Men being harmonized with machines so that they think by the intelligence of machines. If you don't pray, the next generation will become a generation of machines. If you don't pray, a day will come. Then your territory will become a ground of water. Hope you know that most of the clothes we are wearing now, 10 years ago, even though nobody was preaching against it, you couldn't wear it and come out of the street. There's an energy now that gives you boldness. So a lady dresses naked, she feels normal. And nobody even bothers to check anymore because all of us are under the influence of that energy. You think it's normal. It's an energy. We pray so that the consciousness of God can become our operating system. So the man goes to the lab to carry out a demonic thing. The consciousness of God hits him. We pray because there is something God wants to do in our generation and we want to be a part of it. This is why we gather most of the times. Is it important to pray for bread? Yes. But there are higher matters. And who knows the role you have been created to play? What if you are the one to front the revival? What if your role in the revival is to activate others? But you never came alive. So many will perish because of you. Jesus came. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith faileth not. Jesus didn't pray for Peter just for his faith. He said, when thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. There are some men among us that must not fall, because if they fall, the light over others will be swallowed up. Energy intelligence. The devil didn't go for John. He didn't go for Bartholomew. He went for Peter. Did you not read that when the grandson of Goliath came to fight, it was David he went for? And when David was rescued, the man said, you will never come to battle again, lest the light of Israel be taken away. Do you know who you are? We are all Christians, but our ordinations are different. So if we won't pray, at least we will pray until we find ourselves. And when we find ourselves, the matter is sorted out. I can't preach this night. If I enter my message, we will not be able to pray. It's 9 o'clock already. We want us to pray for at least 30 minutes. And we will pray brutally. You will pray outside your appetite for the first time today. You will pray to find out what God will have you do. That was the first prayer that Paul prayed. No wonder he was the greatest of them all. Lord, what will you have me do? You have always told God what you needed. Today, ask him what he needs from you. Tell somebody spiritual intelligence. Let me show you something. The prayer you are praying like this. Lord, I love you. Help me, Lord. It will take 10 years before you move forward. But if you change the intensity of that prayer and you say, takatupakata, what will take 10 years will take 1 month. It's a possibility in the spirit. And that's why the Bible says, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Who wants to pray brutally this night?
Katasozeli prohondo ziketo. Aila ko salita osmehe efide lika to te sila taya iratunde zite epete sapa esila kopa perote kasosu esot ilete te toba kiete erat. Osalita bande to metato esot. Selite tato, ote yatate koma, yato porote, laito, yatata leko, leko, leko. let go, 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 to another height, and from that height, every every prince that is generating negative energy will be cast out of our territory.
I come Brahatana Basusa Hafila Hatikakata Imbrakatati de Veluka Pahatatusa Ambrotatika Pahati de Veluka Ayala Lila Kahida Ayla Hila 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 Brahadava Nambrakatata Kapiba. Lift up your two hands wherever you are. I see rocks in the spirit. I see rocks. I lele kika. Alila Kika. Who is the fourth man? Kika. Lift up your two hands wherever you are. Ilele Kuga Ratada Borosete. Mambro Totiga Bande Sisafel. Ayeli kadatiga dagadagatiga. Azusa raske patakatiga. Ayeli kapatusa aleguta. Oh my God, oh my God. Holy Ghost, under the count of three, I ask my Father that you begin to anoint, you begin to bless your mantle. One. Ololekuga. 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 Two. Ololekuga. 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 I got that the two rasiko tise. Era toko papa pata sise. Ela tapa papa shada. Ayale kende prata tata sele kada. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. For you have come to Mount Zion. This is an oil and gas depot. This is an oil and gas depot. Wherever you are, I'd like you to lift up your two hands. Lift up your two hands wherever you are. I'm seeing candles that are lit. If my sight is accurate, I can see 18 candles. And as I begin to declare, I see those candles coming upon some persons. There are fresh oils. Under the count of seven, Holy Ghost, help me. Find those 18 persons. Your hunger is intense. One. Two. That's right. That's right. That's right. Three. Lord, where are those persons? Let the fire intensify here. Let it intensify here. Four. I see the candle coming. Look at the diamond. Five. Six. Look at the garments. I see three garments coming upon three ladies here. Seven. Lord, let the fire come. Now. Bring them out for me. Bring them out. Now. Intensify it. Ushers, please bring them out. I am seeing the garment of the prophetic. Some of you with your prophetic orders, you will begin to judge the gods that have been up with our land. Lift up your two hands wherever you are. I'm seeing the garment of the prophetic. Father, let it begin to call. Let it come. Now. That's right. Ayaki, please, Pastusa. Help me bring them out here. Urasa tika pastusa. Urepetite patasusa. Jaleko patekoto. Atekiga. Ikete tusa raste pasa.